Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
I've always said, in order for us to properly interpret sacred scripture, we always must look at the context in which it is set in. The gospel for this weekend comes from Matthew's gospel, chapter 7. Here, Jesus is finishing his Sermon on the Mount. Now, for the past several weeks in the gospel, Jesus has taught us everything we need to know about Christianity from his Sermon on the Mount, from chapters 5, 6, and 7 from Matthew's gospel. Jesus taught us what Christianity is, how we are to practice, and why it's so important for us to practice it in our life. Well, today, Jesus concludes his teaching, and now he tells us what the consequences are for following his teaching and for also not following his teaching. Now, Jesus uses very strong language. Listen now. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? Then I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Now, this is very strong language for us all. This is very unambiguous. There is little doubt to what Jesus is getting at here. Now, it's ironic. The first reading from Deuteronomy for this weekend is also in a juxtaposition as the gospel. It's situated itself in the same way. In the first reading from Deuteronomy, we hear the conclusion of someone else giving their teaching or their instruction. In this case, it's Moses. In the first reading, Moses is giving the Israelites his last teaching or instruction before he dies and before the Israelites enter the promised land. Now, it's a classic scene. The Israelites, they're all gathered on the bank of the Jordan River. They know all they have to do is cross the Jordan River, and then they have entered into the promised land. And yet before this takes place, Moses calls them all together. The Israelites are now around Moses, and he begins to teach them one last time. Moses knows that he is forbidden to enter the promised land, and that he must die where he is. Therefore, he's imparting upon them his last instructions, his last teaching. Interesting enough to note, we find this in the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy really comes from the two Greek words, deuteros and nomos, which means second law. And that's exactly what Moses is giving the Israelites. Listen now what Moses says. Take these words of mine into your heart and soul. Bind them at your wrist as a sign. Let them be a pendant on your forehead. I set before you here this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today. A curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now, Moses, again, is instituting the second law. And in this second law, it consists of laws and covenants with God that will teach the people, the Israelites, to be faithful to God. Now, it's also interesting to note what Moses says. He says, take these words of mine into your heart and your soul. Now, the Israelites, they're not supposed to just intellectualize or understand these new laws, but they have to. These new laws have to resonate deep with inside the Israelites, deep inside their heart, mind, and soul. Why? Because the second law that Moses is giving them will give the Israelites their identity as God's chosen people. If the Israelites are faithful to this law, they will always maintain their identity as God's chosen people. And again, listen to the words that Moses speaks. I set before you here this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord. Again, this is hard language. This is very unambiguous. Leads no doubt in our mind exactly what we must do in our fidelity and relationship to Christ. Now, Jesus, again, he uses that same strong language as Moses does. Listen now in the gospel. He says, everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. A wise man or a wise person. The basic biblical definition of a wise person is one who puts into practice the teachings of Christ. I'll say that again. The basic biblical definition of a wise person is one who puts into practice the teachings of Christ. And see, that's exactly what Jesus is getting at here. Immediately, he calls our attention. He continues. He says, like a wise man who built his house on a rock, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. Now, it's important for us to understand houses that were built in Palestine during the time of Christ were built using mud brick during the dry season. And when the rain season came, these houses that were built on solid foundation resisted erosion and collapse. Well, here Jesus is referring to the houses symbolically as our own soul, our soul that should be built on a solid foundation. Well, what are the materials that are used to build the solid foundation of our soul? An active sacramental life, a daily prayer life, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, living a virtuous life, but above all, our relationship and our faith in Christ. All these things provide the necessary materials to build a solid foundation for our house, our soul, to rest upon. Now, why is this important? Because of what Jesus says. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and buffeted the house. Jesus talks about impending storms, rain, wind, floods, buffeting a house. These storms are symbolic of the challenges that we face in our life. These challenges come in many different forms. Maybe poor health, the unexpected death of a loved one, unemployment, an unexpected diagnosis, strained relationships, a broken marriage. All these storms, they blow in and out of our life from time to time. No one is immune from them. They buffet our faith. Sometimes even shake our faith to the very foundation. And yet, despite these storms, with a solid foundation, rooted in our faith in Christ, as well as in prayer, the sacraments, a virtuous life, they won't touch us. These storms are ones in which we can weather, we can overcome and persevere because of that solid foundation that we have. Our soul, our house, will not collapse. We can weather any storm. And yet, Jesus warns us of just the opposite. What can happen if we don't have our soul resting on a proper foundation? Jesus says, everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act upon them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. Here, Jesus is describing the foolish person who neglects the construction of the foundation for his soul, his house. He builds this foundation with earthly materialism, tools that he uses, an inconsistent prayer life. It's not a daily prayer life. A person prays when they feel like it. The other tools that they use, a lapsed sacramental life. They don't go to Mass every week. They go to confession maybe every once in a lifetime. The other materials that they use, a life dedicated not to service of Christ or service to others in this world, but but instead a life dedicated to the service of one's own ego. What's the consequence of this? Well, in the midst of personal strife, disappointment, or frustration, a person is very easy to blame God, lash out at God. They'll say, "How can God allow this to happen to me?" And then they'll walk away from God. The foundation is weak, and therefore the house collapses. Now, this is something that we all must be keenly aware of. We too can succumb to this. Whatever trial we are enduring, instead of reaching out for God for help, trust, hope, and love, we may tend to blame God. Say, you know, all this happened because God allowed it to happen to me. Well, when that happens, when we blame God, then it's very easy for us to walk away from God's embrace. And see, that's what Jesus is warning us all. So you say to yourself, okay, I get it. I know I must build a solid foundation for my house, for my soul. So what must I do? Well, the first thing that we have to do is heed Jesus' advice. Be that wise person. Remember, the biblical definition of a wise person is one who puts into practice Jesus' teachings and all of Jesus' teachings, not just ones that we approve of or like, but everything that Jesus has taught us. Next, we can't be complacent in our faith. Most of us are homeowners, and we all know, as homeowners, our houses need routine maintenance, whether it's maintenance on the roof, the gutters, the windows, the doors, whether it's just painting that needs to be done. We recognize that we have to constantly be working to maintain our house in order for us, our house, to be strong, as well as the foundation that it rests upon. Well, so too with our spiritual and moral house, our soul. It requires routine maintenance. That maintenance comes in the form of a daily prayer life, praying many times throughout the day, an active sacramental life, being a living witness to the gospel every day of our life, and working to strengthen our relationship and our faith in Christ every day of our life. See, if we perform these routine maintenances on our spiritual house, our soul, then we can weather any storm that blows in and out of our life. A house is as strong as the foundation that it rests upon, and our foundation must be strongly rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.